This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, leadership lessons derived from training dogs and cartoon school. We're going to visit a college for those who spent more time at school doodling in the margins than taking notes. And think Facebook photos get around? We'll talk to the subject of a stock photo that's now plastered everywhere in her town. But first, bet you can't eat just one? The Lay's potato chip campaign plays on this idea of snacking out of control. From Oprah to The Biggest Losers, guests describe themselves eating like addicts, eating one more bite of fatty, salty, sugary foods, knowing full well that remorse will follow their mouthful of pleasure. Scientists are now dipping into the popular idea that humans can be addicted to junk food. Maggie Kurth Baker has been watching the topic unfold for Boing Boing, where she is science editor. Maggie, great to have you back on Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me.
So what are some of the current popular theories about food addiction?
So the basic idea is that there are certain foods that can trigger pleasure or reward centers in your brain and basically make you keep coming back for more. But there's a couple of problems going on here. And part of it is that which foods and in what quantities are not really well defined. And the other problem is that the people who are talking about this are talking about a few similar but not exactly identical ideas. So you have the people that think of food addiction in the model of drug addiction, you know, where you actually become dependent on something. But then there's also food reward, which is really more about eating things because you like them, because you're evolutionarily predisposed to liking them. And you like them so much that you'll eat them even when you aren't hungry. Stephen Guyonnet is a neuroscientist who's written a couple things for us on Boing Boing, and he has an analogy about food addiction versus food reward that I really liked. So, you know, people drink soda during the day,
right?
And a lot of people drink that instead of water. But they don't drink that instead of water because they're addicted to it. They drink it because they really like it. And if you take their soda away from them, they're not going to get the shakes. But they keep coming back to the soda, even though they know it's not necessarily good for them, because it's such a pleasurable experience.
So scientists are now poking holes in this kind of idea that people are addicted, right? They're instead finding that the brain responds to junk food not in the same way a brain might respond to cigarettes or heroin.
Right, yeah. There's an article that was published this month in Nature Reviews Neuroscience, and it's really pointing out a lot of the inconsistencies in the data when it comes to that hard addiction model of, you know, food dependence. And one of the issues is that this addiction model doesn't really describe the obesity epidemic very well. Because if you look at, you know, disordered eating, binge eating disorder is a real thing. There are people that start eating and just can't stop. But it's not very common. I think the lifetime risk is something like 3.9%. And it's not necessarily something that's limited to obese people. Some obese people have binge eating disorder, but most don't. The prevalence of obesity is among the general population is 34%. And some people with binge eating disorder aren't actually obese. Only 42% of people with binge eating disorder are obese. So it's really not that different from the general population. So the evidence for food addiction is pretty strong with people who have binge eating disorder, but that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with obesity.
So what we're seeing a lot in our society, I guess, is this kind of idea of the addiction paradigm. And not all of those addictions are necessarily chemical, you know, like sex addicts, for example. These are called process addictions, from what I understand, like eating. So there's no real evidence, you're saying, or at this point, there's no real evidence that food is an addictive substance.
There is some evidence. It's just inconsistent. There's been some studies that have been done where they've seen parts of the brain that get triggered by addictive chemicals like drugs get triggered in people that are, you know, eating things like high in sugar and high in fat. But those don't happen all the time, and they don't necessarily happen just with people who are obese. So it seems like it's a lot more complicated than a simple you eat this and you're going to become addicted the way that you have with something like heroin.
Hmm. We spoke to David Kessler. He wrote a book called The End of Overeating. He's a doctor and he was head of the FDA in the 90s. And the man whose hard line on the tobacco industry actually led to the multi-million dollar lawsuits against big tobacco. Now, his most recent book is about salty, fatty foods triggering chemicals in our brains that make us crave more. So triggering, again, not necessarily addicting. So I asked him to identify similarities between nicotine and food.
Nicotine itself is only a moderately reinforcing stimulus. Add to that the smoke, the throat scratch, the crinkling of the cellophane, the image of the cowboy. You end up with a highly addictive product. If I give you a package of sugar and say, go have a good time, you're going to look at me like I'm crazy. Now add to that fat and taste and temperature and mouthfeel. I add the emotional gloss of advertising, and you see this epidemic of obesity.
So Maggie here, he's describing this kind of superfecta of elements that become activating for the brain. It's the advertising, it's the color, it's the sound, it's the feel for cigarettes, and also for food. It's for situations. So, you know, it seems that Americans kind of like this addiction model, or let's say gravitate towards it. What do you think is behind that?
I think that there's a interest in having some kind of explanation for seeing obesity become more prevalent than it has been in the past. And we want to be able to say, okay, here's the simple thing that caused that. The problem is that it doesn't really seem to necessarily be a direct simple thing. We have this data that shows that, and particularly when you're talking about things like that's not exactly addiction, but it are all of these different things working together to kind of make you just want something. There is definitely data that shows a connection there. You know, you can get a rat actually hooked on sugar. They don't get fat, but they do get these kind of withdrawals, and they get like this very addiction model based kind of thing. But when you actually feed them the way that humans are fed, or feed ourselves, so something, they had this thing called a cafeteria diet, where they allow rats to just basically dine on bacon and cheesecake and all sorts of delicious stuff. And when they allow them to do that, what they see is that these rats will go out of their way to get to this stuff, even crossing electrified pads, and they'll eat a lot of it, and they get fat. And they'll show some neurological signs of building up a tolerance to this stuff, but they aren't strictly addicted. They just really, really like it, and so they keep coming back. Mm. And I think that that's an important distinction to make. You know, you're talking about very different regions of the brain. This is something I learned doing the research for this that I was surprised by. Very different pathways in the brain control like as opposed to controlling that motivational want that you think of when you think of cigarettes. And so this is a like thing, it seems, rather than a want thing.
Well, an additional challenge for conquering the obesity problem. I really want to thank you for joining us, Maggie.
Yeah, thank you.
Maggie Kurth-Baker, science editor for Boing Boing. She's been writing about food as a reward and oh-so-sweet addiction. You can find links to her post at our always calorie-dense website, wordofmouthradio.org. And you'll also find a link to that interview with David Kessler. Now coming up, elementary school kids learn Chinese, immersion style, in the Midwest. That's when Word of Mouth returns in just a moment.